Welcome to today's deep dive. So, when we think about blueprints, we usually picture architects, right? Like precise lines, structural integrity.
Yeah, exactly. You follow the blueprint perfectly, and well, the building stands. It's a calculated guarantee.
Right. But when you look at the blueprint for our food, those lines aren't just concrete and steel. I mean, they are climate patterns, international trade laws, and, the actual price of a loaf of bread.
It really becomes a living, breathing, and honestly highly volatile architecture.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if we look at the Western Cape's newly tabled agricultural strategy for 2025 to 2030, alongside some major international frameworks, it isn't just a dry policy document.
Oh, it definitely sounds dry on paper.
It really does. But it is actually an absolute survival blueprint for the economy and ultimately your grocery bill.
And to understand how that blueprint actually functions, you have to look at who holds the pen. In South Africa, agriculture is what they call a concurrent function under the Constitution.
Right, which means the national and provincial governments share the mandate. It's kind of like cooking in a shared kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Both levels of government have to agree on the recipe, but they control very different ingredients.
That is a great way to put it. And what's fascinating here is just how much leverage that creates because, well, things like abattoirs and veterinary services are exclusively provincial powers.
Wait, really? So if the province controls specific ingredients like veterinary services, does that mean they hold the keys to international meat exports?
Yes, exactly. Because of that constitutional setup, you literally cannot export animal products without a provincial state veterinarian's sign-off.
Oh, wow. That's a massive amount of leverage for one province.
Yeah, so the province essentially controls its own gateway to global trade.
And because they control those export certificates, their local blueprint has to align with the rest of the continent, right?
It has to, yeah. But looking at the African Union's recent Malabo Declaration scorecard,
Let me guess, it's not great.
the results are pretty sobering. According to the continent's agricultural scorecard, the KIP Biennial Review, South Africa scored just 4.11 out of 10 on these major goals.
Oof. 4 out of 10, that's failing.
Yeah, and the benchmark to actually be on track was over 9. I mean, we do excel in generating statistical data and funding social protection,
Okay, that's good.
but we are failing massively at future-proofing the industry.
Yeah, the numbers that jumped out to me were youth engagement, which is sitting at only 7.6%, and farmer access to advisory services at just 12.1%. Why are those numbers so bleak?
It's mostly because traditional primary agriculture, just working the soil, is increasingly seen as an outdated, high-risk, low-margin grind.
Right, it's not exactly appealing.
No, not at all. And without robust advisory services to help farmers adapt to new technologies or severe climate shifts, young people simply don't see a viable modern career path there.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. If we are actively missing these massive continental targets because the foundation is cracking, is a new 5-year provincial plan just wishful thinking? Like, are we drawing a blueprint for a house we just can't afford to build?
It's a fair question, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's not wishful thinking. It's actually a forced pivot.
A pivot to what?
Well, the upcoming Kampala Declaration is pushing a massive paradigm shift away from that outdated idea of just primary agriculture. It's no
Yeah.
longer just about the soil and tractors and fertilizers.
But it's a whole system upgrade.
Yes, exactly. Moving towards holistic agri-food systems. It's a field-to-fork shift.
Oh, I see. And this field-to-fork shift is huge for you, the listener. It means government policy is finally moving away from just subsidizing raw materials like seeds and starting to look at the whole chain. They're actually focusing on the nutritional value of the food that ends up on your dinner plate.
Exactly. It's a vital recognition that throwing money at primary production is useless if the entire supply chain is broken.
Right, which makes total sense.
And this is why the new strategic plan is so urgent. The recent 10-year review of the National Development Plan highlighted a stark failure to implement past policies, largely due to a profound lack of cooperation.
So the next 5 years really require execution that is strictly data-backed and highly cooperative to overcome those past failures.
Spot on.
It really is a crossroads. And the source material frames this perfectly, using the Nlulemisi scenarios for 2035.
Ah,
These are
yes.
basically models for what society might look like as our climate and economy shift over the next decade. One is called the Hadeda Home scenario.
Right, named after those loud, scavenging birds we have here. It represents a nation of slow decline, constant noise, and basically endless blame.
Yeah, everyone's screaming, no one building. But then we could aim for the Weaverwork scenario.
Mimicking the weaver bird, yeah. Which is known for intricate cooperative nest building.
Exactly. It represents a future defined by working together to create something resilient, which is really the ultimate test of this new 5-year blueprint.
Yes. Can the data and policy actually foster that level of intricate cooperation across different levels of government and society?
So as you look at your grocery bill this week, consider the architecture behind those prices. Are we going to keep arguing over who messed up the ingredients in a chaotic Haneda home? Or will we finally start doing the Weaverwork together?